Amen. Amen. Good morning. So I'm Joseph Sager, privileged to be the pastor here at Century 9 Methodist Church, and it's good to be with all of you every Sunday. Thank you, Ned, for that. It was unexpected. Thank you so much. I know others appreciate it. And a big thank you to Carla, who's doing such an amazing job. Thank you, Carla, for everything. I hope you all get a chance to talk with her. She's trying to hear our stories and read them back to us. So if you get the opportunity, sit down with her, call her on the phone, and I look forward to hearing what comes from that. But today we're going to talk about praying. So I think it's good to start with prayer. Let us go to God. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are here before you. Once again on a Sunday, starting our week off, getting ourselves sort of oriented on you again. It's something I hope that we're not doing just one time. Much like eating, we do it 21 meals a week, maybe some of us more in the 30 range, and maybe a few snacks in between, Lord. But may we be worshiping you continuously. Continue orienting ourselves with you to bring our minds, our hearts, our souls in alignment with your will. God, in these moments, wherever we are, if we're at home and there's the distraction of the football games that are coming, or may we just have a chance to focus on your word. Not even what we're saying and talking about here, Lord, but what you are whispering deep into our souls. May we be vessels that receive that. May we be your hands and feet that respond to that. Whatever our age, whatever grade we're in, Lord, let this be a word for us today. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope you leave today and say, that was weird. Because as Dave Ramsey says, normal is broke in this world. God calls us to be weird, peculiar, different as Christians, as followers of him. I believe we gather every Sunday to be reminded of that weirdness. Because when we leave here, the story we hear about how the world works doesn't always align with the story we read about in here, with the encouragement we offer one another. And so today I want it to be a little bit weird. I want us to just be in prayer throughout this time. And so if you have a piece of paper, if you're at home, record this. If you want to get on your knees at some point, as well as all of you, there's railings here. If you feel the need to get up and pray or move, just go with wherever the Spirit is or sit where you're at and contemplate. I really love this scene in the movie Braveheart. There's a few scenes. Anyone seen Braveheart? I'm not going to ruin the movie like I have other movies, I've been told. But there's this moment where William Wallace comes and he's hunting and suddenly he's surrounded and the Irish come upon him and the leader is talking to God as he's talking to William Wallace. And he's like, he is my father. Father, what should I do? And it was something that just encouraged my soul. As bizarre as that movie is, and there's a lot in it I do not recommend, is just something like, of course, why don't we talk to God all the time? So I want to be weird in that way and just break out into prayer sometimes. So if it's a little bit harder to follow, sometimes I'm talking to you, to God, he's listening in all the time. But my hope today is that we are fully alive people. Irenaeus in the second century said a Christian is someone who is fully alive. That means if you're coloring right now, you need to be coloring for God. Debbie, you need to be Debbie for God, not Jill or Ann or anyone else. You need to be the person God created you to be and be fully alive. And so often we get those marching orders and then we begin wandering off because we go on our own. And then we're like, oh wait, we're off track and we come back. But always be praying as a way of checking in with God so that we can be fully alive. So God, I ask that today, Lord, be with everyone here. Oh my goodness, I hope all of you are fully alive. God, I hope all of them get to know who they are in you, Lord, that we can be those people. Part of that is just being aware of how God is moving in our lives. So when God tells us to move, we move. I was blessed growing up in the woods to be a hunter. I realize some people may think, oh my goodness, you kill animals. I'm like, yes, I do, and they're tasty. But if you think that's a really big problem, let's have an ethical conversation about what happened in Brown County in the 90s and early 2000s. There's something about how God designed things. We can have that conversation later. But part of going in the woods and hunting is you have to be aware. I still remember when my dad took me into the woods for the first time. He said, you got to be listening to leaves. You got to be looking at the motion. And you start just being alive. And you're alive. He says, all right, now pay attention for these sounds. But my goodness, have you ever sat in the woods? There's no silence. There are things moving everywhere. There's little chipmunks going, it's a deer. No, it's not. There's birds flying in the air. No, it's not. I was reminded of this. I had the privilege of taking Caden in the woods, and every single sound, he's like, Dad, it's a deer. I know it is. Was it always a deer, Caden? No, it was not. But your imagination takes off, and you're paying attention to things. But over time, you learn to pay attention to what you need to pay attention to. Did you know that right now you have like thousands of sensors coming into your brain that you're ignoring because you're giving attention to where it is? At home, are you aware of the things moving around you? Are you aware of the other screens that are on? Are you aware of the sound of the fan blowing? Here, are you aware of the fan? Are you aware of the traffic going by? Are you aware of the people moving next to you? Well, now you are. Because I pointed it out. Our brain pays attention to only so many, and it takes these thousands of processes, and it brings it into focus. It's called the reticular activating system. And so what we focus on is what we perceive. There's some brilliant videos and optical illusions. This is really a lot how so-called magic and illusion works, is they get that reticulating activating system going this way, and they're doing something over here outside of your perception. And always be praying, God, the reason why we always need to be talking to you is because if we're not remembering who you are in the midst of our day, we're not maybe focused on what you're doing, and we may miss it. And so the same way when I'm hunting, if I believe that that sound is the deer, and I'm waiting for it, and I get all prepared, and I'm looking, and I'm ignoring all the other sounds, and then a squirrel jumps out, and you turn around and a deer is 5 feet away, which has happened, confession, it freaks you out. Because here you are thinking you're this mighty perceiver of all that's going on, but you so focus your attention in one way, you ignored the rest, and you found yourself unready. And I don't want that for any of us. I want us to always be praying. I want us to pay attention. As Simone Weil said, prayer is attention. Prayer is this presence before God, this ongoing conversation, this communion, so many beautiful ways in which we're exploring it right now in this workbook of living prayer. Because the reality is 2020, as Jan said, is a little harder than we imagined. Doesn't mean it has to be a bad year, it's just a lot different. It's a lot different. But today we're reading a passage from Thessalonians. This whole book is a book that's been forged in hard times, but people persevered because they knew they had to pass this belief of God, this faith in God, this witness of what God has done on to the next generation. And so if you go back in Acts 17 and you read about what Paul did there, it was about 3 weeks span he started this church before people came in and ran him out. Because he was challenging the authorities. He was getting work done, not just amongst the Jews, but also the God-fearing Gentiles. And people are like, wait a second, this new community is forming, and we can't control it. So they had to get rid of him. And under the cover of night, they leave. And he writes this letter to return to check in. Some say this is the earliest Christian literature that we have, 1 Thessalonians, written about 51-52 A.D., and he begins in that passage that we read today. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Friends, it is 2020. We need to encourage one another. There are so many things we've leaned into where our shalom, as it says, have peace with one another as much as you can. It feels like it's just been ripped apart. But we need to fight on. We need to fight on because the next generation is dependent upon us to pave the way, to show the light so that the darkness does not overcome. It's been hard. On so many levels, it's been hard, and we need to lament, and we need one another to do that. I hope right now that all of you have a connection here at Central United Methodist Church and you online. If you are someone who has not had a phone call or a conversation with someone who gathers here in the last week or month, please contact the office. We want to be in connection with you. We want to bring the word of God. We want to bring that encouragement and those connections because we need one another in these times, because always be praying, but let's face it, we get distracted. And so it's good to have someone walking alongside us who's going to pick us up, who's going to remind us that we are children of God and that the good is before us. So call the church. It's email us, whatever it takes. Lord, be with us. There's so many who are downtrodden, God, right now in this sanctuary who don't believe they can go on another week. Many who have gone without hugs. Many around us who are getting kicked out of their homes because they don't have the finances. So many people in our community and around the world who are sick and suffering and burnt out. And God, those of us who can be present, convict us. Convict us to be your hands and feet. Or as the psalmist says, Lord, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than a watchman waits for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. O Central, put your hope in the Lord. There is so much to be hopeful for. My goodness, I know the news is like death and destruction and complete dysfunction in our conversational ability right now. But in God, there is something profound to be about. God is good, and his shalom is for us, and as we're talking with him, we open up space to receive that, to have that peace for this season, because if you lost your job, it's kind of hard to have that peace when we only look at what we know, when we wonder on our own way, when we don't invite God in. Something a little harder that some of you may not have yet thought about. When we think about gathering for Thanksgiving and Christmas, I cry. There's a lament. How do we do this? When so much of gathering together, just seeing everybody in the same room, face to face, it hurts to think about these things. God, why are you allowing them? Or for some of us, I've talked to people who said, I've really actually had a good year and I don't know how to share that. Miss gathering, miss the people in our lives, and we begin to wonder, what is the purpose? Because so much of what we knew before is no longer there, and God, we need you to show up and speak a fresh word into our lives. I know that when I read this book, there is a purpose for all of us. There is a purpose here and now that God has sent us, and as Jan said, we have 3 months left in 2020 to change the world. We've done a ton through prayer, through presence, through continually working at this thing. Because we've all been made in the image of God. You are all co-creators, and God wants to work through you still. Whatever it is, whatever sphere you're in, God wants to be there with you and through you. As Romans says, he works together all things for the good of those who love him. A really hard one a little bit later in this passage. Give thanks when things are going good? Yes. Right? Give thanks whenever we're around loved ones? Yes. Give thanks when we're crying? Yes. Give thanks when we've lost someone? Yes. Give thanks when the world is burning around us? Yes. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's hard to do. It's hard to do if you don't have a focus on who God is, because we begin to think we have to carry it all, and that burden weighs us down, and our gaze goes down, and we don't keep it focused. And this is true for you, wherever you are, online, here. You can give thanks. You can have that joy. Again, as verse 16 says, rejoice always, always. Yes, even at a funeral when you are crying because of the loss, you can dance with joy. We are complex humans. We can have these emotions simultaneously, where this deep pain is dancing with great joy. God created us this way. You may say, hey, Pastor Joseph, you're just being Pollyanna, pie in the sky. Have you read this book? Have you seen what has been done? Have you looked through history? We changed our dating system based on this Jesus guy who we can talk to. Thank you, God, who can come alongside us in the Holy Spirit. You get real attachment. Has anyone ever felt loved before? Either in your home, in your marriage, other things. My goodness, when you know you are loved, you can say things. You can say ugly things. Let's be honest. That safe space where you can finally just, oh, you know what I think? Hey, back up a little bit. But read this. What does Moses do? What does Abraham do? They're like, God, you know what I think? I think you're wrong. Now, they're wrong, but God allows that perspective to be there when we're always praying with God. We're never alone. You're never alone. God is always pursuing you. Are we opening up to receive that? I mean, think about when you're dating, right? When you were dating, if you've ever dated before, you are pursuing the person, you're asking questions, allowing them to be completely themselves, never alone. Yes, you separated for a brief bit, but I know people who talked on the phone for 7 hours in that space. How? I don't know. They had to have a phone charger, I'm sure. But we want to be present to the one, our beloved. And this is God with us, this presence that he seeks in us, this hope he wants to have with us. And this is because of what he did in the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead. This is good news. It's good news wherever you are if you don't know Jesus. The reality is everyone knows about Jesus. If you go on the street and you say, who are the three most significant figures in the history of the world? No matter who they are anywhere, almost every single person puts Jesus in those three. And then you say, what do you think about Jesus? And most people who do not believe in Jesus, don't know him as the Son of God, their Savior, their Master, they usually have a conception of Jesus that's a bit off. And it's really fun to say, you know what? I don't like that Jesus either. Let me tell you about Jesus. You get this chance to talk to God. And so, God, I thank you for revealing through this that we can have this hope in the midst of all of this, because part of the good news is really offensive. Right? To receive the good news, to have this conversation with God, you got to acknowledge that you're full of crap sometimes. You got to realize that there's a lot of you that's been in rebellion. There's a lot of our lives that's just really ugly. And it's okay. Right? Because once you confess Jesus as Lord, you see he was Lord over those moments. You're just running away from him. And there's forgiveness. Yeah, there's the pain. There's the devastation you caused that you have to reconcile with. But there's this hope. There's this hope that there's repentance that's possible. Metanoia, that you turn your attention from to Jesus. And this is what Jesus' good news was. And Matthew, after his baptism, coming out of the desert, he doesn't say, everyone be happy, or everyone be nice. He says, repent. The whole nation of Israel was going the wrong direction. This is why they went in John's baptism to the Jordan. What happened in the Jordan? The whole nation of Israel came out of their transition in the desert of 40 years through the river. So it's literally saying we're reforming this covenantal community with John's baptism. Repent, for the kingdom is near. Because there's a sin that entangles us. It trips us up. It keeps us away from God. And so, God, when you want to talk to us, so often I'm thinking, no, I want to talk about what I want to eat and why I deserve 3 cookies, not one, and why it should be chocolate chip, not something else. And those are really the conversations we have going on in here. They trip us up. It's honest. But God's okay if we just bring it before him and slowly transform, because all of those isolating perspectives we keep from God, they keep us away. But the gospel of the kingdom is near. John, after they repented, they said, what do we do? Right? The tax collector said, what do we do? He didn't say, go memorize the catechism and go to Sunday school for the rest of your life, though that can be good. He said, just take what you're supposed to. What? The soldier, what am I supposed to do? Be content with your pay. Right? Because what he's saying is that there's something coming where if we're not honest with where we're at and have integrity with where we're at, then we won't be able to respond to it. We won't be able to do what we need to do. I mean, think about it. If you are a little kid and you encounter math for the first time, right? Maybe some of you are still of the mindset, why do I ever need math? Right? We have calculators. That's what it's for. But let's say you had to put together some bags of apples. And someone says, you know, there's this thing called addition and subtraction, where if you know how many that someone wants and you look at how many there are, you can get the exact amount out. And if I say, I love that, here, and I don't do it, right? If I don't do the math, I just believe it works. I believe in math. Or you get a shovel. I believe in math, and you dump it there. It may work out sometimes, but you don't do it all the time. And when we think about this, pray without ceasing, how many people had to do math facts? You're going to. Right? Why did we do math facts? So that it just came to a second nature, so we can move on to more advanced math. Right? How much of Paul's writings are about us taking care of these fundamental things so we can go on to having a deeper walk with God? And that's what this list is. Always be praying. If you don't go to God in prayer, it's tough to go on. Frank Laubach, I think that's how you pronounce his name, the Philippines missionary in the early 1900s, transformed learning. He on the island in the Philippines, he is responsible for nearly half of the island learning how to read and write. He started these national programs that went international, and it's amazing. But one of his biggest things he did was the minute-by-minute prayer. He believed that if we would just focus 1 second of every minute on Jesus, the world would be transformed. Because if you're constantly reminded of Jesus, how could you ever yell at your spouse that hard? How could you ever be that mad at your boss? How could you let the emotions, which are good, run so far afield from where God would have you? You know, we talked about in the 1930s how only a third of the country was going to church and had church membership, and of that, only half went to church. And of that, he said about on a certain survey, only one in four sermons talked about Jesus, and in that, only 10 minutes. And so he was talking about how if we have 10 minutes a month for 1/6 of the population, how can we ever say that the gospel of Jesus is saturating our culture? And so he moved it to, like, what if it was 1 second of every minute? What would happen? It would just be amazing. But the question is, do we want it? Do you want it? Do you really want God in every minute of your life? That's where it gets hard. Because we know God answers prayer. We've read it, we've seen it, we've heard it. But we often want God to answer the prayer out there. Because when we think about the things we still do in the dark, when we think about the sin that so easily entangles, it's sometimes easier to be a functional atheist than it is to lean into God and go there. It's hard. It's hard when you've been righteously indignant and you know that you're wrong to stop and go to God in prayer. It's hard to know you're right and yet love the person who's wrong when it can feel so good to hit send on that meme. It's hard to constantly call people to the cross, yourself included. Because as we become aware of God and we attend to God, we squirm under that attention, much like a child who has been acting out squirms under the questioning of a parent. Again, this is why repentance is at the beginning, because we can turn towards Jesus, which is turning away from those pasts that keep us from it. And God, you are so good. You are so good. So much of my life, God, I've been blinded by what I wanted to pursue, my own internal navel gazing. And as I do so, I lose sight of where you are, Lord, and yet you always receive me. You've called me, Lord, to take every thought captive. Every thought. That means not just thoughts about you, God, but how I think about football and how I think about hunting and how I think about how I'm going to spend my free time because you want me to have my best life of obedience in you because then I can bless others. I love Maxie Dunham telling us that prayer is God's idea. Have you ever thought about that? Prayer isn't some habit you picked up at a self-help store. Prayer was invented by God. It is how he wants to talk to you daily, moment by moment. And if you haven't read this, there's so many beautiful ideas in here, tools to keep you going. I love this. We've had to keep coming back to these morning and evening prayers. You start with adoration. Hallowed be your name, God. You move on into thanksgiving. God, I'm so thankful for the privilege of gathering with these great people who are going to go forth and transform Richmond and beyond. God, I want to be dedicated to you this week, wherever I am, that your presence can be seen in me, your words can be through me, that people hear me only away from you, that they hear you through me. For guidance, God, wherever I'm at, just give me the wisdom to take the next step faithful to you. For intercession, Lord, all those prayers we lifted up, for all gathered here, Lord, that they may know you more, for petition. God, I really need you to show up in the thing we talked about this morning. And then meditation, to listen. It's not just constantly having the ticker tape like CNN of prayer going through your life. It's about listening. And that's really hard. That is really hard. You know, John Wesley said a Methodist is someone who is so in love with God, filled with the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that they want to shed that same love into others. And the only way we can do that is if we keep checking in with our beloved. We keep pursuing that knowledge of God, that communion with God, that joy of God. Are we willing to do it? Are we willing to go prayer and fasting, as Jesus talks about? What in us so wants the shalom of God to be in others? Are we willing to pray continuously? Lord, pour out a fresh word in our hearts that we may be able to do this. That any interruption you give us, God, we don't see as an annoyance that takes us away from what we want, but a correction that gives us to what you would. That in any situation, as we bring them before you each morning, Lord, that we remember you and we have ears to hear and eyes to see at what work you are already about. That in the people in our lives, Lord, we don't see them for people we can control, but blessings, fellow co-creators in this, some far from you, some near. And that we point them onwards and we follow those that are after you, Lord. God, I want to lift up to you our children. For our first graders or second graders, our third graders or fourth graders, our fifth graders or middle schoolers or high schoolers, our preschoolers or infants or screaming babies. Lord, it's been really hard for them. They miss their friends. Lord, send them peace. God, they want to be out running around without these masks, but Lord, give them the ability to be present in a way that allows us to be with one another. God, let their sense of adventure fill whatever room they're in if they have to quarantine. That through their imagination with you, Lord, they can roam this world. God, be with our parents who are suddenly proctors to exams and styles of learning that heretofore were never imagined. For being ever present to that kid who is just so awesome and may just speak a different frustration language than us right now. That we can see that we're in this together with our kids. For parents everywhere, as they pass along this faith. So often, God, we think that the church is the place where we get the good news, and it is, but my goodness, it's the home. We spend maybe 3 hours with you, God, here in a church building, but we spend countless hours together. May we be witnesses to our closest neighbors in our houses. For marriages, Lord, it's been tough. the pandemic. Stress is unimaginable. Finances askew. So many things gone off the rails. And yet, Lord, you call people to be one flesh, that they can be that primary institution of love and attachment that the kids can know, and they can know one another. God, be with spouses as they lead others to you, that they may know you, that they may present you before you at the resurrection, and we can rejoice and dance together. God, I lift up all of those in college. The wisdom that they can see that there's more than just the next moment, that they can still be in those amazing institutions of learning without all the distraction. For those, Lord, who have been single their whole life, who have had that higher call that Paul speaks about, that they may continue on in their journey, seeing that they have the ability to pour themselves out in ways other people cannot. What a blessing they are to our community. For those, Lord, who still have dreams in the midst of 2020. God, when we look at this world, it hurts. But as you say, Lord, let us not put out the Spirit's fire. Let us lean into what, God, you have offered to us, that we may see that you are calling into existence that which was not, that you are bringing about redemption and new creation for Richmond and New Paris and Wayne County and beyond. It's easy to believe the lie that this is a place that's going downhill, but I see so much. I see it in the people, Lord. I see it in the way in which people gather and the faith they have and the story of what's been before, that Richmond and New Paris, this is an amazing space here on the borderline of the states, that you are working a new thing in each of our neighborhoods. And God, I ask that all of us gathered here online can bring before you those names, the names of our neighbors, the names of our communities we're a part of, that we can be in prayer before you, God, as we leave here, that you will call to mind in a timely moment for us to reach out and be your hands and feet, that we transform things, not one transaction at a time, Lord, but one relationship where people believed we are present. Lord, for our government, for all of our leaders, elected and unofficial leaders as well, that you may bring wisdom. Lord, we know what we cry out within the church, that we want everyone to follow you and to repent. But in this country, we have a different system. And so, Lord, we ask for your wisdom in the decisions ahead. We ask that the church may shine brightly. So many people want to fight about things so far away from their homes. Lord, let us tend to our community and speak truth and love in all circumstances. God, we give thanks to you for all those who have gathered. We give thanks to you for all of the workers. We give thanks to you for all who go forth and risk. We give thanks to you, Lord, for all who stay home and isolate. We give thanks to you, Lord, for all of those suffering in the hospitals. We give thanks to you for all of those who have been made well. We give thanks to you for all of the chances we have to gather. We give thanks to you, Lord, for all of those broken engagements of all of our plans. May all of these things turn us to you. God, may we be fully alive. Grab our attention, Lord, as soon as we turn it away and see that you have a hope for us of a brighter tomorrow, that in all things we have something to give you praise for and thanks for, whatever our circumstance, and any who are downtrodden, Lord, just convict us to reach out. Put a name on our hearts. Put a desire in our souls to reach out to our neighbors. Lord, that we may be a people fully alive, spreading your love from central and beyond, from our households and beyond, wherever people lie, that we want people to be loved, to be known, to be redeemed, that we may start doing your good works. We may not fully understand you, God. You've shown up in weird ways, but you are a mystery worth pursuing, resting in. God, let this workbook of living prayer for those who have done it be something that lives in us for a long time. And God, as Madeline comes forward to play for this offering we have before you, an image is going to come before us of your beautiful creation. Of this time of year when so much is changing. We remember the promises of summer, the beauty of this moment of change and the coldness ahead. The clearings where everything seems so clear, seems so distant. Yet here and now in the midst of the blowing wind, Lord, you guide us. So as we offer our gifts before you, as we offer our prayers before, as we leave here and offer our witness to others, as we go forth to our community and others and offer our service, right now, Lord, we offer ourselves. That you may return us to this world as your people, ready to be a light in the darkness. God, may we never stop praying. Amen.